with you again this morning. We have windows of opportunities to walk through with our children, and they pass rapidly. I missed many of mine. I would challenge you not to miss yours. Some of you are, you have. At the end of today, at the end of the teaching, we'd like to maybe open it up for some Q&A. So if you have any comments, questions, and answers, we'll talk at the end here. Steve Arterburn made this comment: when I was in junior high, I felt like a loser. That was a very tough time for me. My daily goal was to not humiliate myself or look like the awkward, uncomfortable, pimply young man that I was. If I could get through a day of not saying something stupid or stumbling or having my voice cracked in mid-sentence, then it was a good day. And even on my best days, I felt like a loser. I don't know if you relate to that or not. In some ways, I can. I went to public high school. I remember one time walking down the hallway. I was the shortest, the smallest, lightest weight little guy that was in school. In ninth grade, I weighed less than 88 pounds. And I was walking down the hallway in public school, and you're switching classes, and in ninth grade, there's lots of people, and I might have shared this story with you before, but I had my books under my arm, and I'm walking down the hallway, and somebody walks up behind me and grabs me a hold of my head, lifts me up off the ground, and carries me down the hallway with my feet just dangling. Makes you feel like a man. Somehow in grades 1 through 4, one plays together, has fun, life's great, you're accepted just because you're you. But somewhere around grade 5 and 6, things start changing. You ever notice that? Cliques form. There's in kids and there's left out kids. And there's the hot and the not so hot. You're on a journey. What changed? Well, you're in a hot car without reverse. And we're moving down that journey toward becoming an adult. And somewhere inside, in the pituitary gland in our brain, there's this God-designed time clock that tells the rest of the glands when to secrete the hormones that'll start the changes in our bodies to turn us into from a child to an adult. And it determines the time in life when your glands will start secreting hormones, okay, that both internally and externally will make changes that you'll never return to. That time table is different with everybody. I was one of those late bloomers. When I got married, I still wasn't very big, and I still am not. Okay, no comments. But on the other hand, I outgrew my wedding suit after I got married, and I was married when I was 21. That tells you how late bloomer my hormones were still at work. And in high school, one of my dreaded classes was gym class, because there is where you compare who you are as a man. And everybody takes a shower in a public shower room. That's difficult, men, okay, especially if you're a late bloomer. There are opportunities and times for fathers to prepare their sons to go through times like that, and most of you, your children aren't going through public school. Maybe some of you are, but maybe many of you probably are not. But in all these changes, it's a dramatic time that occurs in a child's life. And that window of opportunity that we have to prepare our sons and our daughters for that passes rapidly. We want to talk about that this morning. You know, with guys, it's testosterone. Our voice changes, body hair starts growing, our genitals change, we get pimples. Body is preparing for manhood, for hard work, for responsibility. What about our spirit and what about our soul? What changes that? Only God and godly men change boys into real men. Only God and godly men call boys up to genuine and authentic manhood. Hormones don't do it. In gals, it's estrogen and progesterone, and their pelvic structure widens, and their breasts develop, and they get pimples too, and their body's preparing for childbearing and motherhood. What's going on with our sons and our daughters, our grandsons and our granddaughters' minds when all this is happening? You see, it not only changes our body, it changes the way we think. Our minds change at that time as well. Like we said in grades 1 through 4, everybody gets along, there's no cliques, everybody just has fun. But afterwards it changes, because you see, it changes the way we process information. We start thinking about God, about life, about rules, about relationship. There's a lot of introspection. Who am I? Where am I going and what will I become? And you sort of feel like you're on a stage and all the eyes are on you, even though that's not true. It's just like that little paragraph that Anthony was reading. Some of us develop overinflated opinions about our own importance. And some of us, well, we can never measure up. We can be awfully tough on ourselves. And then some of us waver from one to the other. You ever watch your children go from a little boy to a grown man, back to a little boy, to trying to be a man, back to a little boy? And our girls do the same thing. They're struggling between boyhood and manhood, girlhood and womanhood. Okay, it's an intentional journey. It's an intentional journey. And my heartbeat and my goal as we communicate is one of the things that I believe would be so important for us to eliminate would be hormone-driven adolescence. I think adolescence should just disappear. Okay? Adolescence is a difficult time. It's something that's been coined to sort of term that time of period between childhood and adulthood. It's something that should not take place. Okay, we say, well, no, it's just a normal time period. Well, we've been taught that, and somehow we've bought into that, but I don't believe that that's true. One of the things that I believe with all my heart is that we need to start early. We need to begin with our children before the hormones hit. It's that window of opportunity, because if you wait until the hormones have kicked in before you have the talk, it becomes extremely difficult. Because now they're processing information differently. Yeah, that music video. Okay, you saw that little boy just looking with adoration. There's times when your sons and your daughters think that you're almost God. And then you come to the time when they think you know nothing. And you need to take the window of opportunity when they're looking to you and hearing you and saying, Dad knows lots. Where you can start the process and begin the journey. You see, all boys become adults. Hormones will take care of that, but not all boys become men. Many of us here are struggling in relationships because the roots of those struggling relationships go back into the past. Oftentimes, it's because of things that occurred in childhood and during that process of puberty, of the hormonal changes where nobody helped us, and we just simply walked through it by default instead of an intentional journey. Jesus, and it's recorded both in three places, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and he says, But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he were drowned in the depths of the sea. This is really talking about a young believer. Somebody who's just young in Christ. But you know what? He called a little child to him to use that as an illustration. And in doing so, he was saying that little children are to be protected and guarded. They're a treasure and they're precious. And just like a young believer is too. But they're moldable and they're teachable. They're not mature in their Christian walk. And he's talking about the young believer, but these children are not mature either. They can't handle mature things. They are to be guarded. They are to be protected. And men this morning, I think one of the things that we've really dropped the ball on is protecting our children. And my cry to all of us is as fathers, as grandfathers, let's do what we can to protect our children. We need to protect our children. Statistics are horrendous. 1 in 4 girls experience sexual abuse. 1 in 7 boys experience sexual abuse. 75% to 80% from someone they knew. I'd like to read to you from a book, from the back of a book. It's called My Body is Private. We're going to try and talk to you and give you some, and they're on the back of your handout. You don't have to look there now because we're not going to the handouts yet. But there's some resources there that some of you could use, and we would perhaps encourage you to consider. This is a book that I just recently got my hands on. It's copyrighted in 1984. And it's by Linda Walford Gerard. It's called My Body is Private. I'd like to read just a bit out of the back here. It says, Information about sexual victimization of children is rapidly reaching American families. The problem is so immense, and this is back in 84, okay, that it is natural for parents and others who care for children to react in disbelief or panic. Neither of these responses is appropriate. There are several things that you should know about sexual abuse, several ways you can help protect your child. Current estimates are that before age 18, 20 to 40% of females and 10% of males encounter some form of sexual abuse. In about 90% of the cases, the abusing adult is known by or related to the child. Adults who sexually abuse children are of all ages and come from all racial, religious, and ethnic groups. No single psychological profile describes the sexual abuser, although most abusers are male. Some children who are sexually abused will exhibit symptoms. These include dramatic behavior changes. A happy child may become quiet and appear sad. Behavior problems at home or school. Physical complaints such as headaches, stomach aches, nightmares, reluctance to go to certain places or be with certain people, and sexual behavior with dolls or playmates. However, some children will only show these behaviors after the abuse is disclosed. Others will never show any symptoms. Talking with your child is the best way to find out if she or he has been sexually abused, and the best way to prevent sexual abuse is talking about it as well. Using whatever words your family uses for private parts of the body, ask whether anyone has ever touched your child's private parts, or whether their body's private parts, whether your child has ever been asked to touch the private body parts of an older person. You need to feel comfortable talking about the subject, or your child will pick up on your discomfort, may be reluctant to talk about touching. Remember, you will periodically need to raise the subject. Be sure your child has learned what you've taught. Now, I know this is sort of an uncomfortable subject that we don't want to go with. Here's a book that it's not available through CBD. It is available through major bookstores. I checked it out. It's about $7. It's a thin book. It's easy to read. I think it's tastefully done. It's very direct communicating. But with a book like this, when your children are around age 4 or 5, you can communicate how to protect them from sexual abuse. What's good touching? What's bad touching? What's acceptable? What is not? It's a book that I think might be very wise for people to consider and look at. And you say, well, hey, that's not really the direction we want to go in our home. All I can tell you is I believe that there's so much heartache that's preventable. And it's time to be proactive in stopping this garbage. It's time to deal with this head on and not to believe that it does not exist. It does exist. You see, and some of us who work with hurting situations, we run into it over and over again. All I can tell you, men, is I see that it's epidemic. And yes, it's epidemic. You know, sexuality, when it's awakened before its time, creates all kinds of problems in children. Okay, God didn't intend sexuality to be awakened in children. He intended them to have a joy-filled, fun life, learning discipline, learning tasks, learning value, learning how to do and how to get along with people, social skills and such the like. But when sexuality is awakened by inappropriate and improper pictures, touch, exposure, it creates so much heartache, so many problems. There's this confusion that occurs within a child, a horrible experience plus evil, and they know it's there. And then there's another confusion that can take place, and that is the evil plus something that feels very good, and that creates a huge amount of confusion. I was talking to an older man just recently who was abused by a relative when he was younger. And now this sexual abuse has continued into his family. Okay, he says, it felt so good, but it was so wrong. Okay, huge amounts of confusion take place. And you think that you're exempt from it. Well, I just want you to know that it's everywhere. And so you need to be alert and aware of it. We must protect our children. We must protect our children. There's the picture of that book, and it's one that it's listed on the back of your handout, so it would be a resource. You can tap into that if you would care to. We need 75 to 80% of sexual abuse occurs by somebody the child knows. oftentimes by someone that they are related to. Okay? We must protect our children from our own family, their own family. Okay? People who should nurture become damagers of spirits and damagers of hearts that children have a struggle getting over and dealing with. There's brothers, there's cousins, there's sisters, there's uncles, there's grandpa. And, you know, statistics show that there's this generational connection. There's the iniquities that get passed from one generation to another. That's what God said several times back in the Old Testament. He says, "I am a jealous God, and I will visit the iniquities of the children upon the fathers upon the children of the third and the fourth generation." And so you see, God isn't laughed at. God is not mocked. Okay? Whatever someone sows, they also reap, and it's generational. And we can stop the passing of generational iniquities and generational sin. Okay. Know what is happening in your home. Know what is happening in your home. There's this natural curiosity that young boys have, especially, and young girls as well. Okay, that's why I believe that this book, when you communicate with your children at age 4 and age 5, they know what is acceptable touch and what is not acceptable touch, that it's safe to come to you and tell you anything and communicate with you. Your wives can talk to your daughters. You can talk to your sons. It is our responsibility, men as men, to see that this type of thing happens in our home, or you know the type of education that prevents the sexual abuse. It is our responsibility, fathers, to make sure that our children are protected, and maybe grandfathers that are grandchildren are protected. It needs to happen. Know what is happening in your home. Know what you and here, fathers, we need to talk to our sons early on. Okay, what's acceptable touch and what's accepted? There are private parts. My body is private. There are parts of our bodies that no one else may touch, and I will not touch any other person's body in that way. And you don't do it with fear, but you do it with, hey, this is the way God designed you. This is you. That is them. There is appropriate things and there are inappropriate things. Now listen, son, you must become a responsible young child. And then a young man, and you start this journey early of giving your sons the responsibility of knowing what's correct. Also, you have to be careful of not over-responding to real young child curiosity, but to deal with it properly and promptly and correctly. And to say, this is not the kind of thing that can continue. Know what happens when your children stay at other people's places. It's okay for fathers to ask other fathers, is it safe in your home? You might have taught your sons, they might not have taught their sons. What if your daughter's having a sleepover? Their daughter's having a sleepover and your daughter's over there. I know a very close person of ours, their daughter climbed out the window and walked home at night because of fear. And this is not out in the world, this is in the church. This is people they knew, they trusted. Okay. There was a situation in our home, and it's just because they belong to your congregation or your church, that doesn't mean it's safe for your daughters and your sons to sleep over and stay in their homes. You're responsible to know what's going on there. It's okay for you to talk to their father and mother and say, "Hey, we are concerned about this. Have you talked to your sons about protecting your daughters and all other girls and all other females? All women are safe in their presence." Be aware of what goes on around you. Prepare your children. If you prepare your children and they know, because you see, sexual abusers usually threaten children that if you tell, here's what's going to happen, and they put dire straits to it, you must tell your children. It's okay to tell them anything. Always, they never have to fear the other person. They must always come because you will step up to the plate and you will protect them. What are the standards in other people's homes? You know, what kind of jokes do they tell? What kind of movies do they watch? What kind of things go in their place? What kind of discipline takes place? What is okay and what isn't okay? Okay? Establish this in your home. Establish it in your children. One time, one young man, and it's too close home, we need to be careful as I share personal experiences, but one young man called his father and said, "Dad, come home, come and get me." He says, "They're watching a movie here, and it's not one that that you would want me to watch. And this was in a church home. Same congregation. Okay? That young man was taught something at home that he could step up to the plate, and he felt good about calling his dad and saying, come get me, because of a movie. You know, I think when I was that age, I just would have sucked it up and watched it because nobody taught me and nobody showed me. But you know, when a father teaches his son, your son can step up to the plate, your daughter can step up to the plate. We need to prepare and we need to protect our children. Is this okay, men? One young mother, so overwhelmed with life, overwhelmed with being a wife, overwhelmed with being a mother. And when you trace back the roots, it's because of something somebody did to her as a child. But inside, there's a 6-year-old girl that cries because of something somebody did to her. There's another situation with horrendous repercussions in this person's life and in the lives of what's happening in, as it ripples out from her, that when she would go to visit Grandpa's house, somebody else in the house would visit her bedroom. And today, and that's, you know, at a young age, at 7, 8, and 9 years old, when this is going on, what is a child supposed to do with that? And you see, in another bedroom, father and mother are sleeping soundly, not aware of what's going on with their daughter, and she was too terrified, and she was too afraid to tell. And she couldn't talk to her mom, and couldn't talk to her dad. And today, there's horrendous repercussions. Okay? I'm not trying to put terror in your life, but I'm intending to put some fear there. Okay? We need to step up to the plate, men, and we need to make sure our children are protected. Our grandchildren are protected. Because you see, it's uncles, it's cousins, it's brothers. Teach your sons how to treat their daughters, how to treat your daughters, how to treat their sisters, what's okay, what is not okay. And put some fear in them. That if anything like that happens, they will tangle with you. Okay? You just simply don't want to threaten them, but you just simply say, hey, son, here is what it means to be a man. And listen, son, this must never take place. And if it does, you and I will have a man-to-man talk, and you won't enjoy it. Okay? Not fear. Well, yeah, fear, but not a threat. Just simply say, here's what must happen. And I care about you, and I love you, and I want to protect you. I also want to protect your sisters. And this is the way we live right, and this is the way God wants us to live. Okay? Had a phone call not too long ago from one sister, and then sometime later from another sister. And they have not been protected in their homes. And their brothers invite their friends over to mess with their sisters. There's an older man that I've grown up with, and he used to invite school friends home to have sex with his sister and when the parents were working. This is not in the world, okay? We need to protect our families. We need to protect our children. Men, this is about as serious as we can get. Okay. God has a plan. God has a plan for fathers to step up to the plate and be the protectors, to be the shepherds of their home, to be strong enough to slay the wolves and to kill the wolves and the lions, but also tender enough to hold the lambs and teach the lambs and protect the lambs. God wants us men to be strong men. That's authentic manhood. That's authentic manhood. Fathers, we can also protect, especially both our sons and our daughters, with affection. The Scriptures tell us to be kindly affectioned one toward another. Somehow in our culture, we sort of, you know, is affection okay for men to show? Yes, it is, men. God says, be kindly affectioned one to another. Okay. And our sons and our daughters, you need to wrestle with your boys, sometimes with your daughters. They need your hugs. And especially during the time when your daughters are going through puberty, they need to know it's a time when they feel like an ugly duckling. And they just feel like they're so out of place. But fathers, we can, with the right, appropriate love and affection, hugs, and pet names that are encouraging and upbuilding, we can let our daughters know what a treasure they are and how special they are. I remember so much. I struggled. I go, okay, I've got this son and I got this daughter, and I haven't done a good job. I feel like so much of a failure in fathering, but I appreciate so much one book that just really dramatically had an impact on my life. It was Gordon MacDonald's, called The Effective Father. I think it's out of print. I think you can find it on half.com or something like that in used books. But that book changed my life, and I think it changed our lives. Because in there, he emphasized how that a father can protect his daughter's heart by filling up her love cup. Every single one of us have an emotional love cup that needs filled up. And when it's drained, instead of being full, that person becomes so vulnerable to anybody else showing a bit of affection. And we can fill up our daughters and our sons' love cups just by spending time with them, by letting them know that they're important to us. And especially with our daughters, by being affectionate to them, dating them as they go from 10, 12, all the way up through the teen years, and just communicating with them, listen to them, hearing their heart. You don't have to tell them lots. You just have to look for the right teachable moments to communicate, but always to communicate, you're valuable to me. You're a treasure to me. I want your heart, and when the time is right, I'll give your heart to give to somebody else. But only when the time is right. I believe also it's important for us to protect our children by taking the mystery out of the mystery. There's a book called The Wonderful Way Babies Are Made by Larry Christensen. We had one of the old renditions of this. I like it better than the new one. The new one gets a little bit too graphic with pictures. But I like the old one. But somehow, I appreciate a friend of mine, David Rice. His children told me, he has a son and his daughter, and both his children told me, he says, my father wanted us to know the facts of life early on, and he wanted to teach it to us right. He wanted us to know it right before we heard it at school, before we heard it at church, before we heard it from everybody else. He wanted us to know it right. And he says, that way, when you hear the garbage, you'll know it's not true, and you'll know what is true. And you know what? They appreciated that. And I see that they protected their children. Take the mystery out of the mystery. Do it appropriately. You can't tell them everything. You must not. You'll actually cause a huge amount of problem if you sexually awaken them. You don't want to do that. But at the appropriate moments going through their growing up years, you want to take the mystery out of the mystery, because that mystery's there. And I think many of you would remember where you first heard about the birds and the bees. Shouldn't they first hear it from mom and dad? I believe so. I don't believe so. I know so. That's what needs to take place. You have an outline there, okay? I originally was putting together my own outline, and then I realized just recently that my brother had already made one. I decided to just grab Frank's work and use his. So I wrote to him and says, Frank, can I use your outline? He said, sure, just don't put my name on it. His name's on it. So anyway, okay. All men live most of their first year of life inside of a woman, their mother, close to her heart, living in and of her body, born through a very delicate part of her body, nursed at her breasts, held close. That is bonding. That is good. Mothers love their sons, and that is good, and care for them in many ways, and that is good. But sometimes it is taken too far and lasts too long, or is manipulative and controlling, even after the sons are old enough to care for themselves, even after the sons are dating and married. Mothers can dote on their sons. We already talked about this when we talked about making a healthy break with mom. Okay, that was a crucial teaching. I remember the first year we looked at that subject, and people looked at this and say, why are we going there? And after we went, we talked about it, almost all the guys were going, yeah, that's me. Okay, making a healthy break with mom. It's important. Right now, well, just recently dealing with such a fascinating situation that a father died early, and here's a mother, and she emotionally attached to youngest son and wouldn't let go, even after he gets married, still attached, okay, and emotionally just simply sucking that love cup and that energy out of him, and it's damaging other relationships. See, it happens. It can be loving, and it can even be emotionally draining by being manipulative and controlling. This will cause many problems. Boys grow up expecting and receiving good from their mothers. Then they generalize this to expecting and demanding good from all women. All women are to serve them and meet their needs. And it seems like there's plenty of women willing to provide this. Okay? And they take this into dating and expect the girls to meet their needs. We've discussed this before. We look to our girls to set the standard for dating. This is wrong. And it sets girls up as being in charge, and it shows the weakness of young men. We've talked about this, so we don't have to spend a lot of time going there now. What to do? What should we do? Fathers, we are responsible, and we must convey to sons the need for them to be men. I believe that we need to start early before the hormones hit. We need to start talking to our sons. It's okay to start saying, "Hey, son, there's a plan. God has a plan, and you are going to become a man. Hey, you know, just all you have to do is take your son's arm and just roll up your sleeve and put their arm next to yours and say, 'Hey, how come my arm's different than yours? Where did that hair come from? What's that all about?'" You don't have to go into sexuality. All you have to do is say, "God has a plan. Son, God has a plan." When you're six, you can talk to them when they're 6, 7, 8 years old. God has a plan. He plans for you to become a man. He's placed inside of you that pituitary gland that is your time clock. And you don't have to go into all the other details. But if you start sharing things like that, you're already opening their heart for dad to talk to them increasingly about more important things and more sensitive things. Instead of waiting till 12, 13, and their hormones are kicked in, they're already dealing with all the stuff that's going on inside, and then you want to have the talk, and they don't want to have the talk. So you can build anticipation. You can move into this. 8 to 10, the time is coming, son. God has a plan. He's got something in mind for you. He wants you to step up to the plate and become a man. You see, young men must make that transition from being boys to being men. Mothers typically complicate this process. Men, get your wives to, you know, take your wife out for a date and talk about some of these things. Don't just simply just tell her how it should be and what's going to happen. Just simply talk about it and say, "Hey, we want our sons to become men. We need to make this transition. I need to place the anointing of manhood on my son." And you heard about that with Sam Gingrich last week. He does such an awesome job of communicating how we can, with ceremony, move our sons from boyhood to manhood. That there's an intentional journey. He talked about that intentional journey. That's the way it needs to happen. That's what should be happening. But we need to start that process. Start it early. Take your wife out for a date. And talk to her about this and say, "You know what? I have to give the charge, but you also have to start releasing." Our wives need to start releasing, and it's very difficult for them to release a son. Just like fathers, it's hard for us to release our daughters. I told my daughter she can get married when she's 30. She didn't listen. Get your wife so that you're partnering in this and you're cooperating in this, so mothers release at the same time you're placing the charge. Boys will not be boys. Boys will be men. It is fine for boys to be boys when they are boys, but they must grow out of this stage. And we will be looking at this at the last part of Encourage Men, that the stages of a man's life are prenatal, infancy, boyhood, no adolescence. Let's just eliminate that. Let's move from boyhood and move our boys into young manhood with ceremony, with intentional planning. And then we move into manhood and then mentor and patriarch. Between boyhood and young manhood, a change must occur. He must now move from being cared for by women to him caring for women. Your son, you know, when you have that ceremony and you start moving your son from boyhood to manhood, you know, you say, "Hey, listen, son, whenever you came home from work, from school, you know, he's maybe 12 years old, 13 years old, and when he came home from school, mom would have the cookies and milk, and you would be wanting mom to do this, do that, take care of things. Now, son, there's going to be some changes that take place. When you come home, hey, mom, what can I do for you? What needs to be done?" What chores do you have for me? You start teaching them responsibility. Because you see, men, the problem is we have adults, we have boys in men's bodies, and they're still expecting their women to take care of them. I was one of those. Not realizing how important it was for me to step up to the plate. That transition didn't take place. I didn't move from boyhood to manhood. I moved from childhood to adulthood, and I did not become a man until many years later. I thought I was a man. But I was a boy in a little man's body. He's now responsible for the girls and the women he meets. Men, we need to tell our sons and teach our sons that all women, all girls are going to be safe in your presence. Start early to head off the inappropriate actions that come out of normal curiosity. Okay? Normal curiosity cannot move into touching and inappropriate behavior. There is normal curiosity, but it needs to be directed by dad, needs to be directed by mom, needs to be corrected by dad, needs to be focused and channeled. Young men's sexuality must be harnessed. They need a master. They need to be told that they need to master their sexuality or their sexuality will master them. He must assume the responsibility for all women, no matter how those women behave or dress in his presence. No, he can't control how they dress, how they behave, but he has to assume the responsibility of how he will respond to all women. Okay, with his eyes, with his thought process, and how to channel that and what to do with it. Fathers can talk to your sons about that. We must. Jesus made this transition at 12 years of age, but he was still subject to his parents. Fathers must convey to sons the need for them to be men. Much of this is caught by example. Now, before we move on, I'd like to just go on to a couple other. On the flip side of your paper there, okay? I found some interesting books that I actually had a stack of these, and I think I loaned them out. You ever loan things out and forget who you gave them to? Okay, well, I had this stack, and I wanted to bring them here. I wanted to have them on the back here on a table so you could see them, but that stack was given somewhere, and it hasn't come home. So here's some things that, and you can see the descriptions there. Under resource material, my body is private. We already talked about that one. The garden wall, okay? It's a really neat story, and look at the appropriate ages, okay? My body is private. Recommended ages, 4 and up. The garden wall, ages 8 and up. But you see, you start talking, you start putting principles and values, and it opens the door for you to communicate to your young children, your young grandchildren, the importance of protecting something that God has given them. This garden wall is really a fascinating story. It's a story of relationship. He agrees to help her by building a wall to protect the delicate flowers from harm. But it's not easy. Will they give up? Can their friendship last when disaster strikes the garden? Okay, in this engaging children's story, healthy friendships grow into committed love as Seth and Petra build their beautiful garden and the wall to protect it. Children learn about having healthy relationships based on 1 Corinthians 13. It's a way that you can communicate value into a young child's life. You can start preparing them for the journey. Okay, the second one is the princess and the kiss. Okay, a loving king and queen present their daughter with a gift from God, her first kiss, to keep or to give away. The wise girl waits for the man who's worthy of her precious gift. Neat story. Ages 6 and up. You see, you're talking to young children. You're putting values there that'll last them a lifetime, along with you protecting them and giving them the information about how to protect their bodies. Now you present and you insert value that builds solid character, that they know how to make decisions and base their decisions on truth and righteousness. Okay, the squire and the scroll. Okay, a young squire who travels a long, dangerous road beside his brave knight on a quest for their king. And it just talks about a young man stepping up to the plate to becoming a man. Okay, and so just wanted to share some of those resources with you. We must, fathers, assume the responsibility of caring, protecting, and teaching our children. Now, we go back to our handout there. Men, you must be the undisputed, gentle head of the home. I like what Frank put there. He says, only strong men can afford to be gentle. Listen, men, something broke my heart a couple weeks ago when a woman told me that she heard that encouraged men is teaching men to be dominant and to take charge and take control and to be more of the dominant leader in their home. No, encouraged men does not teach dominant male leadership. If you're one that's taking home that information, change it. Don't damage the name of encouraged men, or don't damage the name of the Lord. That's not what encouraged men is doing. We're teaching servant leadership. Strong, gentle servant leadership. When you come home from work, your job is just beginning. Now you serve your wife. Now you serve your children. You don't grab the paper and sit in the corner. You don't get your wife to serve you, your children to serve you. You step up to the plate and you become a strong servant, gentle leader. Only strong men can afford to be gentle. Our children need to grow up with strong fathers. Our wives need strong men who will be gentle with them, caring with them, loving with them, understanding, not dominance. Jesus says, I did not come to be served, but I came to serve. Jesus is a model for our leadership. In the world, they rule over and they dominate, but it's not so in my kingdom. He who wishes to be greatest among you, let him be the servant of all. Does that include wife? Does that include children? Yeah. Wives and children respond to gentle, strong servant leadership. We must be the undisputed gentle leader in our home. You see, because there are problems that occur. If a wife is the head of the home, and this is flip side of your page there, the children will be confused. The sinful syndrome. A passive dad plus an aggressive mom equals angry children. We must require respect. Okay? We must not allow risque comments and jokes. What are risque comments and jokes? It's things that border on the indecent. We sort of give an okay to it and we say, okay, well, the joke was funny. Be careful, men, what you laugh at. Be careful what your children see you laugh at. When a risque joke is told, you know what a risque joke is? A joke that just sort of borders on the dirty. Ah, well, it wasn't quite, but it, you know, that, yes, it is. Okay, it's contaminated. Be careful. Don't laugh. In fact, I'll tell you how to keep from laughing. Determine ahead of time, that you are going to love what is right and hate what is evil. And so that when you hear the risque in it, you just simply say, that's evil, I hate it. And make a determination that you will not laugh at something that's evil. Your children do not need to hear you laugh at a joke that is off color, even if it's slightly off color, or it's disrespectful. Okay, can't go there. Proverbs is used to instruct and command from father. It talks about the teachings of mother. It must require fathers instructing and charging their sons with manhood. Sons must be absolutely respectful to sisters and mother. And please, hear my heart. You fathers, make sure if you even hear a hint of your son speaking disrespectfully to your wife, don't tell him, listen, son, you are not going to talk to your mother that way. Don't say that. Say, son, you will not talk to my wife like that. Okay? Just leave the mother out of it. Let him know that this is your wife, first of all. Mother second. And you are not going to talk to my wife that way. I won't put up with it. Okay? Let your sons know that you're going to protect and stand up for your wife. Many women feel so vulnerable because husbands won't establish the respect between a son and a mother, or even a daughter and a mother. As daughters get older, it's pretty hard for two queens to be in the same castle. Okay? Some of you know what we're talking about. Okay? Don't let your daughters speak disrespectful to their mother, to your wife. Okay? Lay that down. There has to be respect. Must be respect. And fathers instructing, charging their sons with manhood. Sons, be absolutely respectful of sisters and mother. Mothers, to let go of sons. Must give sons responsibility early. You know, one of the things that challenges me as we move away from the farm and we move away from ag, we're living in homes that where we don't have lots of chores to do. But fathers, you got to come up with something. You got to be creative. If you're going to live in a development and you're going to raise children, you better come up with some creative ways or find some people that your sons, you can keep your sons and daughters active and busy, because idleness is not a healthy place for your children to be. Allow your sons to make mistakes and then help them pick up the pieces. Fathers, we can be so hard on our sons when they make mistakes. I appreciate so much. My father, we grew up poor. My father he was not the best manager. I remember I wrecked two of his cars. Okay? And it wasn't because I was acting up and doing something dumb. I just simply, not alertness and just being diverted. And when I was 16, 17 years old, I'll never forget that my dad could not afford to fix up that vehicle. But on the other hand, he put his arm around me and said, "Dad," he says, "son, I'm just glad you're not hurt. We can replace the car." Do you know what that means to me today? Do you know what that meant to me then? Okay, if you got a 16-year-old who's just starting to drive, get ready. Okay? Don't jump down their throats if they come home with a fender bender or even if they destroy your car. If they're healthy and they're okay and they're alive, give them a hug and say, "Hey, it's all right. We can replace the car." I had a good friend of mine. In fact, at the time, he was my best friend. His daughter wrecked the car and he reamed her up one side and down the other side. She still doesn't forget that. Okay? And he could afford to replace it where my dad couldn't. Okay? Just get ready. Okay? It'll happen. Your children will make mistakes. Okay? Yes, if they were doing something dumb, talk about it. Okay? Deal with it. But don't crunch them. Allow them to make mistakes. Help them pick up the pieces. Okay. Well, it says there we look at the problem and there's no rite of passage. Well, Sam Gingrich took care of that. We're not going to talk about that. Lastly, I've asked Ray Weaver to come front, and I know we're over time, and so maybe we probably won't have the time to go in. Ray, would you come forward here just a minute? Ray shared with me some things about Passport for Purity. Passport for Purity is a way of communicating some challenging things to your sons, but I think you need to prepare the way before you get to Passport for Purity. But I just asked Ray to communicate this because he's already walked through it with one of his sons. He's getting ready to walk through it with his second one, I believe, right?
Okay. Well, thank you, Jason. Can you hear me this way?
You all right?
Okay. When Jason called me and said, "Would you share about this?" I said, "Jason, I am very humbled for this invitation, because I said, I'm still on the journey and I'm still learning and have a lot to learn about this whole process." But this whole part of Passport for Purity, how many of you ever heard of Passport for Purity? Okay. How many of you walked through it with your son? Would you stand? If you ever walk through this with your son, stand up, okay? If you have a daughter, stay standing if you would. If you have a daughter and your wife walked through it with her, would you stand up? Okay, we have two. Now, maybe I should have you come up and share. I'll sit down. That'd be great. Before you sit down, though, just give one sentence of response to Passport for Purity. How'd you find it? A word or a sentence? Okay.
We loaded up Sunday afternoon and we got out of the campground gas model. They said to me, "Dad, this is the best thing in the world."
Praise God. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Nelson, can you give your response? How did it go with your wife and her kids?
Very well. Kind of received response that Joel did for Phil. Very good weekend, very good material.
Mm-hmm. Good. All right. Thank you. Good job. Yeah. when I first heard about this material through a personal friend and who took his son through it, we have five boys. And we have some other friends who use the material called Preparing for Adolescence by James Dobson. And so I got the CDs and I listened to them, and I tried it with our oldest son. The thing I found with Preparing for Adolescence was it seemed a bit vague. There were some good points. He had some testimonies included in it from 15, 16-year-olds, how they stood up against the temptations that they faced in this area of sexuality. But then it came from my second son when I heard about this Passport for Purity and had some good recommendations from this close friend. I sent off the material, and the material only costs about $20 to $25. You can get it from CBD Books. You can also get it from Family Life Publishing as well. And I thought, well, I'll just share some my responses through how it went with our boys, maybe some tips. One of the things is that I encourage you to spend a lot of time in prayer before you take your son out and deal with this area of sexuality. And just seek God for wisdom and God, ask God's guidance and how to prepare for this time and prepare the heart of your son. Before going on the outing, I would encourage you, Passport for Purity, I strongly recommend it, and same with the testimonies here, compared to Dobson's Preparing for Adolescence. It's put together by Dennis and Barb Rainey. And so when I got the material and I started listening to the CDs, there's five sessions, and one of the CDs is for girls and one is for the men. So if you have a daughter, you can play that. That CD would go with when you're dealing with the daughter, with the mother. Usually the mother would take the daughter in. And so as I was going through this material and I started listening to it, and about partway through, I just began to get these feelings of awkwardness. I said, you know, I just talking about sexuality with my son, it just didn't feel comfortable. And then I began to doubt. I said, you know, suppose I put wrong thoughts in his mind, or, you know, maybe I'll create him to, you know, I'll cause lust to come into, you know, his own heart. And then I had to think about the truth. I thought, you know what? If I don't tell him, somebody will. And I want it to be that somebody. Somebody else is going to find out. He's either going to hear it through his friends. He's going to hear it through Hollywood. He'll hear it through pornography found along the way. That's when I was 16, 17-year-old, that was my first introduction to pornography. My friend of mine found a bag of the stuff along the road. He took it home and put it in his barn. And I went to his house one day. He said, Ray, I want to show you something in the barn. I went out. He introduced me. First exposure to pornography. But I thank God that he purified my mind and he spared me from going that road, because that oftentimes, that exposure, by happening upon it, garbage along the road, takes a man down the road to addiction, to pornography. But I thank God for that, that I was spared. But you know, our sons will pick up. And it's the wrong concept of sexuality if we as fathers don't do it. And so I took courage and continued on with the plans of going and taking my son out and using this material. You know, I agree with Jason that sex education should come from the parents, not the schools, not youth pastors, not junior leaders, not from pastors of the church. It should really come from us as parents. I have a good friends of ours who are attending a church, and one day the junior youth leader decided to take the boys on a camping trip, not knowing to the parents what he was going to do. But on that weekend, he talked about the bees and the birds with these boys, unknown to parents. And when they came back home, this 13-year-old son went to his father and says, Dad, why didn't you tell me about this? And the dad was devastated because he was preparing to take his son on a getaway and explain to him about the bees and the birds. And now this junior youth leader robbed that gift that he was going to give to his son. And how sad. And when they approached the pastor, and the pastor sort of bluffed him off about his concern, I thought, how sad. Fathers, this is our responsibility. This is our gift to give to our children, especially our sons and our daughters. And so as we made the plans for this trip, Dennis Rainey, this material, Passport for Purity, I encourage you to go through it so you understand the material really well, and there's projects in there that you can do with your children. And when I took our one son out on this excursion, I plan to go to a place some distance away. And again, like I said, I'm on a journey. Our first son, I was going through preparing for adolescence, and I thought, well, you know, we were home on furlough because we were missionaries in Ghana for a while, and one of furlough said, well, I'm going to start this journey. I didn't know what I was doing, quite how to go about this. And so I took him to do target practicing about 3 miles away, you know, so I thought, okay, we'll go there, and we'll play a CD, we'll listen to it, you know, and then we'll do some target shooting, and then we'll listen to another session. And I got there, and about even a quarter of the way through the first CD, he says, Dad, let's go target shoot. That's what we came here to do anyway. You know, he sort of began to lose interest, and it just wasn't going as I thought it would. And then we come home, and then I thought, okay, I want to finish these CDs. We're going to go to Cabela's. So we planned a trip to Cabela's at Hamburg, and we got a motel, and the motel will go through these sessions, you know. So, well, it was about an hour to Hamburg, and we got through one session, got to the motel. You know, by that time, he was tired of listening to these things, and, hey, Dad, you know, let's do something else. This wasn't going too good. Next morning, I thought, well, we'll listen to another session, then we'll go to Cabela's, and we started in, and he said, Dad, let's go to Cabela's. You know, it just, somehow, it wasn't connecting with him very well, that material. When he came across his passport for purity, and when I took our second son, I thought, you know what, I'm going to plan a distance away, because that way we can listen to it, we're driving in the car, and he can stay focused. So my son really is interested in history. So we planned a trip down to Sharpsburg, Maryland, to Antietam Battlefield. And so that's about 3 hours away. So we got together, we figured out the date and got our stuff together and headed out. And so I played the CDs as we were driving. And there was a manual that goes with it. And so he could fill it out as we were driving down through. But he was focused and he could hear what was going on. We got down there to the motel. And by that time, we were about 4.5 sessions through, and so we finished up the other half that night at the motel. And the next morning, we finished up the fifth session and then headed out to the battlefield. And, you know, I mean, it was a great day with my son because we could take our time, went through the museum, we could read his little signs along the way, we'd go to the bookstore, we could take our time, just he and I. And as we shared together in that book, you know, our boys... This book talks about peer pressure. The book also talks about sexuality. A book also talks about dating standards. And so it was an opportunity for me to speak into his life and talk about dating and talk about girls and how to relate to girls. But even though he's only 14, 15 years old, there is they have what's called a dating contract in the material. And it says here, wait to date contract. It says, to my parents, recognizing that God holds you accountable to raise me in the admonition of the Lord, that I am under your authority as a child in this home, and that you have you love me unconditionally and are committed to my well-being. I agree to wait until you believe I am mature enough to go on a date. And he signed it, and I signed it. And I said, son, there's going to be a day coming where you're going to want to start a relationship with a young lady. I said, when that time comes, you come talk to mom and dad, because we want to walk through with you. Over that time, we're going to talk more about this whole relationship with how to relate to girls. And also in that book. So after we finished up there at the battlefield, we headed home. And I wanted to take my son to a special restaurant because this was a special time with him. And so we stopped in at Lancaster, and way in 30, we stopped at Lancaster, the Langhorne Steakhouse, just near Park City. And my son has never been to steakhouse because we don't eat there with five children and a family. You know, we go to McDonald's and, you know, Burger King, eat off the dollar meal. And if our budget allows, you might splurge a little bit more. But, you know, but this was his time. And so I had to help him through the menu of what steaks are and so forth. But it was a great time. And during that time, here is a little book. It says, My Passport. And as we ordered our food and waiter went on to get the food, I said, son, here's a passport I want to give you. As we complete this material. And it says this, in the sight of Almighty God, I promise in the power of the Holy Spirit to maintain moral purity by abstaining from sexual morality and by giving Christ first place in everything. I give the date and the signature, and I give it to him, and he hangs on to it. Men, I just want to say this in closing. This is not a magic wand that if you go through this, you're going to guarantee sexual purity in your son. I want to say that up front. I got a lot of work to do with our boys. And our boys are human. And they're going to make mistakes. And I probably someday you might see my son treating a girl and say, wow. I mean, that's the son of Ray Weaver who spoke to us, encouraged men that we should do this and this so our sons won't do it. They're human. But let me ask you this, men. Would you help me to raise our children? If you see my son treating another girl inappropriately, would you come to me and say, Ray, I saw your son, Hannah, treating a girl like this. That concerns me. And by the grace of God, I want to be humble enough to say, thank you, brother. I will talk to him. I'm asking, will you help me? Will you help me in this journey? I need your help. Help keep me accountable. You know, Psalms 127 says, children are blessing the Lord. They're like arrows in the hand of a mighty hunter. And men, I see that children are like arrows. You know, archer, when he gets his arrow, we saw from this, I work at this, the Mennonite Mall in Five Pointville, you may know where that's at, called Weaver's Store. They have an archery department. And, you know, and it's above my head, and the technology in archery is just so amazing. But anyway, an archer will take an arrow. He makes sure he gets the right tip on it. He makes sure there's the right knock. He fletches that arrow properly. Why? So it hits that target. But let me tell you something. When that arrow leaves the bow, that hunter has no more control over that arrow. And as men, we're shaping our sons' and our daughters' lives. We're shaping the arrow. But you know, fathers, when that son leaves our home, we have no control over them. They make their own decision. We stand on the sidelines and we coach, but we no longer have control over them. And our goal is to shape them. And this, I believe, is simply a way of shaping the arrows to hit the target of righteousness and holiness. Thank you.
Well, thank you, man. This morning got long, but thanks for listening and having with us. Any comments, any questions? I did listen to Passport for Purity. I ordered it. I have it. And I'm impressed with it. I would encourage you to consider it. Once again, it's not a magic wand. If you think you're just going to use this, then you're not going to be a father. Yeah, you've got to be a father. Got to be a father.